This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome into Ron Segi today on the weekend before Thanksgiving. And we got a big show for you this week. Coming up on November 22nd, Thanksgiving Day will mark the 55th anniversary of the assassination of President Kennedy. And we're going to do our first hour talking to many authors who have their own opinion with their books about what happened on that tragic day. But we'll start things off with my friend, former CBS News anchor Dan Rather, author Patrick Nolan, Roger Stone, who's in the headlines even as we speak, and Bonner Menninger. Next hour, from Blind Spot on NBC, Jamie Alexander. Actor Ernie Hudson will be here. Costa Kennedy has got a great coffee table book about the history of baseball in pictures. And then Melissa Spurka talking about Thanksgiving. And that's all coming up this week with Ron Segi today. We'll be here in just a second with our first guest, Dan Rather.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allen Root. Healthcare in this country is a disaster. Health insurance is completely unaffordable and it covers very little. But there's a better way. I'm living proof. I joined myself. I'm a Liberty HealthShare member. Exercise your freedom with Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of people who voluntarily share one another's medical costs. Everyone loves liberty. Our rights come from God, not from government. Liberty believes people should make decisions for themselves and their families. Members are able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their health care. You have the freedom to direct your health care, not to be dictated to by big government or insurance company bureaucrats. Stop letting others tell you what to do. Exercise your freedom. Join Liberty HealthShare. Do it today. There are no windows, no limited enrollment period, no penalties. You can join Liberty HealthShare at any time, 365 days a year. I did. My family is a member. Call Liberty toll-free at 855-58-LIBERTY for more information. That's 855-58-LIBERTY or online at libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS and you cannot afford to make payments to the IRS, you may qualify for the CNC tax program. This is a new program, and if you qualify, you won't make any payments to the IRS while in this program. Once you're accepted into this program, the IRS is forced to stop all harassing collection activities. No threatening phone calls, no wage garnishments, no bank levies, and no more monthly payments to the IRS. Get ready to write this number down. It's the most important number you'll ever need to end your IRS tax nightmare. Call Paramount Tax Relief at 800-547-4804 for a free confidential consultation to find out if you qualify for the CNC tax program. Once you are accepted into the CNC tax program, you won't make any payments to the IRS while in this program. Call Paramount Tax Relief now at 800-547-4804. That's 800-547-4804. Again, 800-547-4804.
We are doing a very special show this week as we remember the 55th anniversary of President John F. Kennedy's assassination back on November 22nd of 1963. Now I want to read you a letter. Dear Ron, I am grateful to you for your interview while I was promoting my new book, The Camera Never Blinks Twice. Thank you so much for making our interview so pleasant and productive. You and your team did a terrific job, and I truly appreciate your good efforts. Here's hoping our paths cross again soon. That was dated October 17th, 1994. That was signed by our guest, Dan Rather. Hi, Dan. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Aren't you kind to still have that letter? Wow.
It's framed and in our studios here, and I'm so ecstatic that you're here today. And I must say that we got to quit meeting every 24 years. So it's got to be sooner than that, you know?
I would totally agree with that.
You are one of the first reporters that actually saw what happened that terrible day on November 22nd, 1963. A young reporter reporting from, of course, Dallas, Texas. Dan, what was it like when you saw that?
Well, it's a never to be forgotten day, to say the least. And in fact, the whole weekend, what we call the four dark days in Dallas. Friday, when the president was assassinated. Saturday, when his assassin was being questioned by police. And then Sunday, incredibly, it's still kind of hard to believe, when the assassin was assassinated in the basement of the police station. And then, of course, on Monday, the national funeral led by the still grieving First Lady. It was an emotional earthquake for me as a person, as it was for every person in America and many people around the world. I was just past the school book depository waiting for a film drop of the motorcade. I didn't immediately realize that any shots had been fired. I didn't hear any shots. I didn't see any. But when the rest of the motorcade didn't follow behind the presidential limousine, I knew something was wrong. So I rushed back a few blocks to our local station from where we could broadcast. And by the time I got back there, it was obvious the president not only had been shot, but had been seriously hit. And I managed to get through to Parkland Hospital. And partly as a result of that, our CBS News team confirmed that the president was dead a number of minutes before the White House made the official announcement.
You were not in the press motorcade, the pool car, were you?
No, I was not. The late Bob Pierpoint was the CBS News White House correspondent. He was in the motorcade. My job as a young CBS correspondent, because I'd grown up in Texas, they assigned me to arrange the coverage. I didn't expect to be on the air that day, but I had arranged our coverage, you know, the getting the film from the motorcade, getting the film back and having it processed. Keep in mind, we didn't have portable videotape in those days.
Right.
So that was my occasion of being in Dallas. I had organized the CBS News coverage for the trip to the state. As you know, you may remember, the president had already gone to San Antonio, Houston, Fort Worth. He was in Dallas. Austin was to be the next and last stop. We had staffed up a bit in Dallas because we thought if there's going to be any trouble, we didn't really expect trouble. If there's going to be any trouble, it would be in Dallas. No one thought of an assassination, but Dallas was a citadel of resistance to desegregation and racial justice. It was a citadel of resistance to the Kennedy administration and the Democratic Party. And there'd been some jostling of Democratic candidates before in Dallas, so we thought, well, we should have a little bit heavier coverage in Dallas than anywhere else, which we did.
Dan, how do you go from just covering this thing from a peripheral level to going from there to not only breaking the news prior to the White House breaking the news, called Parkland Hospital, you received verification of the death of the president from a priest and an emergency room physician, and then later was shown the Zapruder film to bid on it for CBS News. I mean, those were two huge entries into the story.
Well, that's true. Again, I was a bit lucky. I was among the first to see this Bruder film, and our team, including our local station KOLD, had helped to find this Bruder film and played a small role in getting the film processed. And then when they showed it to us, what they did was Mr. Spruder hired a lawyer who wanted to sell the film, and he said, look, we're going to show you this film once and one time only. So I saw it once. I left there immediately to go to describe from memory on the air what I had seen. So in that sense, yes, you know, it was a big story, and partly through luck and partly through experience, we did manage to get pretty much in the middle of it.
Dan, how did you verify who you were, and why did they give you that information at Parkland Hospital? I mean, anybody could have called it.
The chaos factor, like, first of all, because I called the hospital right away, I knew the hospital switchboard would get flooded if I didn't call right away. Because I called right away, the first time I called, the switchboard operator hung up on me. I called right back, got through, and just begged her to keep on the line. You don't want to underestimate the chaos factor. The hospital was completely mobilized. Remember, not only had the president been hit, but Texas Governor Conley had been hit. They were in a chaotic mood, and I somehow, the switchboard operator took it on faith that I was who I said I was. I remember saying to her, you can call me back if you want to verify whom I am. And I begged her to get somebody, anybody on the phone who might be able to tell me what was going on, and she proved to be quite helpful. As you say, I talked to a doctor, talked to a priest, and at another place, another member of our team, Eddie Barker, was the news director, talked to somebody who was high up in the hospital administration. All these people said, without equivocation, that the president was dead. So I knew we were dealing with a dead president, even though the official announcement had not been made.
What was the scene like when the limousine went past you? Did you see the president? Did you see Clint Hill, Jackie, the Conley?
Well, I had no idea. I wasn't even sure it was the president's limousine. I get the picture. I'm there. Just sort of waiting for the motorcade to come. Everything had been routine. Indeed, pretty good up to then. I wasn't expecting any limousine, but I wasn't even sure it was the president's limousine. I thought it was, and I thought to myself, well, did I see the first lady in that car? Was that the limousine?
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't sure. It just all happened in nanoseconds. What I did know almost immediately after that vehicle left was that the rest of the motorcade wasn't coming. The motorcade had stopped, and at that moment, I had no idea what had happened, but I knew something had happened because the rest of the motorcade didn't come. And in charge of our coverage, I thought, I'm out of position here. I have no way to broadcast. Remember, this is 1963.
Right.
We didn't have cell phones, didn't have live coverage on the street, so I had to get back to the station only a few blocks away. And by the time I got back to the station, as I say, then and only then did I know that the shots had been fired at the president.
I'm amazed at the fact and very interested that you believe with one gun, one shooter, Lee Harvey Oswald, acted alone. And that's interesting to me in lieu of all of the various theories surrounding this. Why do you feel that way?
Well, first of all, I think the facts point in that direction. I want to make clear, I understand reasonable theories about how Oswald couldn't have done it alone and reasonable theories about a possible conspiracy. I'm open-minded. I try to be, fact-concentrated. And everybody's entitled to their own opinion about what happened, but they're not entitled to their own facts. Now, I think the facts strongly suggest, I think beyond any reasonable doubt, that Oswald definitely was a shooter. I do think there was one gun, one shooter. I think it was Lee Harvey Oswald. I consider the Rosetta Stone of the case the fact that he killed Officer J.D. Tippit a short time after he left the Scoobook Depository.
Right.
I recognize that there are other people with other theories, and maybe history will prove them right, but we're years beyond the point now. And so the second part, well, okay, even if you accept, as I do, that Oswald was probably the shooter and the only shooter and acted alone in shooting, was somebody else part of a conspiracy that acted with him? It's more difficult in that area. Again, I'm open-minded. I still study the case. Nobody yet has given me what I consider to be persuasive evidence of a conspiracy. I do agree the Warren Commission didn't do its job perfectly. I think the process was flawed, but I think they reached the right conclusion. The FBI and the CIA withheld information from the Warren Commission, and that makes them somewhat undersufficient. But, you know, conspiracies are very hard to keep, and the idea that Oswald was somehow involved with somebody who put him up to this or helped him do it, I think it's a reasonable hypothesis, but it is a hypothesis. Those who speculate that conspiracy involved tens, if not dozens, if not hundreds of thousands of people, the CIA, the FBI, Lyndon Johnson, the Defense Department, I don't think this is reasonable that many people were involved in the conspiracy and the conspiracy could last this long.
It's amazing how a tragedy sometime will spawn careers for other people.
Well, that's true. And also, we're in the United States of America where people are allowed to speculate and be skeptical or even cynical about what they're told by official sources. So no one should be surprised at this. He was only president for 1,000 days. He was the first president born in the 20th century. He was the first Roman Catholic president. He represented new youth, forward-looking, but because his presidency was so short, because he was assassinated, he died violently so young, there's always going to be mystery and mystique surrounding President Kennedy and his administration.
Dan, do we have to wait another 20 years to get together again?
I hope not. Give me a call or send up a flare. I love talking to you and love to be on with you with maybe a happier, more optimistic subject. So I look forward to it, and I very much appreciate you having me on today.
Thank you, Dan. I appreciate your time, and I look forward to having you back, my friend.
Thank you very much. Good luck and Godspeed.
Thank you, Dan. Our very special guest, Dan Rather, and of course, Dan, a legendary newsman, and let's face it, one of the very few newsmen that probably are still with us after that tragic day reporting on November 22nd, 1963. Thank you, Dan. And there's more to come on Ron Segi Today.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
Folks, this is very important information. What's to be said about CBD? AncientLifeOil.com. Our CBD is made from hemp and has 0.003 THC, which means this wonderful product won't get you high, no matter what amount you take. What does CBD do for the body? My hands are tied, but you can Google CBD benefits and be astounded. When you're finished reading, you'll want to log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com and purchase. Life is good when you feel good. People are tired of pain. People are asking for non-GMO organic products to help them with, you fill in the blank. Legal in 49 states, and again, our CBD is made from hemp. Ancient Life Oil is about helping people, one by one by one. If you wonder how good the product is, the CEO takes it every day. Without miss. AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Have a great day.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
It's pretty amazing when you consider that 7 years ago, we didn't have the treatments we have now. We cure 80% of children with cancer. Go back 50 years, we were curing 20 to 30%. This is the miracle story of modern medicine. We understand what makes this cancer tick. And of course, without donors from around the world, this just couldn't happen. And there's one thing we're focused on, and that's beating this thing.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Time is the one thing that we want more of. Without the donors, I wouldn't have my Audrey. They take care of our housing. They take care of our food. In addition to the best medical treatment that my daughter could ever have. So it allows me to focus on my daughter and getting her better.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
This week on Ron Sedgy Today, we are featuring many authors that have recapitulated what happened on November 22nd, 1963. Our next author, however, not only talks about 1963, but 1968. How and why U.S. agents conspired to assassinate JFK and RFK, CIA rogues, and the killing of the Kennedys. Our guest is Patrick Nolan. Hi, Patrick. How are you today?
How are you, Ryan? Good.
This is a fascinating piece of work, and it must have taken you an enormous amount of time to write this.
Thanks very much. I've been interested in the assassinations most of my life. Spent the last 10 years whenever I could down on paper.
You certainly did that. Now, one of the things that you mentioned, so many reasons for this cover-up, regardless of what it is, and of course you allude to the CIA, is that we didn't want our enemies to know that sometimes we are as bad as they are.
It's a lot of people don't want to face the truth because they think it would make the U.S. look bad. And I agree that that's not a good idea to make the U.S. look bad, but it's the truth that sets you free, as I say. And I think other countries admire us when we are truthful.
Now, let's talk about the reason why you say the CIA was responsible. President Kennedy was looking to unwind the CIA very shortly before his assassination. And the CIA was a little upset, too, with the fact that John Kennedy was looking for a truce with Castro when, indeed, the CIA was making strides in killing him. So there was an underlying dispute going on that, I don't know, did Kennedy know that this was happening? Did he know the CIA was bent out of shape about this?
He certainly did. He actually began to work behind their backs. And this is well documented. On three fronts, he had feelers out using the French to try and make peace with North Vietnam. And also, he had made great gains with Russia following the Cuban Missile Crisis. The CIA, obviously, to them, this was treason.
Talk about CIA's Richard Helms. You describe as a pathological liar. He was responsible for a lot of the problems the CIA had back in the early 60s, and that he was certainly capable of pulling off something like this in lieu of his personality defaults.
If you study the history through his own writings and his testimony to Congress, you can easily see the nature of this person who was a career CIA officer who eventually became the top person, the director, what he was like. 1953, on up to 73, actually, he had been working on such programs, assassination programs. Their goal was to create a fall guy, but the work could be done, again, without CIA being blamed. Tested drugs on thousands of people. They assisted in attempted coups in Iran, Iraq, Congo, and Guatemala, and Cuba, and Indonesia, and South Vietnam, either sponsored by the CIA or assisted by the CIA. 63, they started doing it at home.
How do you keep that a secret? I mean, the CIA is a big organization. I mean, how indeed were they able, if indeed they were responsible, to keep this a secret when leaks are so prevalent in our government?
It's called compartmentalization. compartmentalization. Compartmentalization is a procedure, a system whereby you're working at one desk, I'm working at the next desk, and neither of us knows what the other one's working on, and we could be working on the same thing.
Nobody knows the whole picture.
Right.
How did you finally come to the conclusion that said, you know what, I think the CIA is involved here?
The Mafia and the CIA had an alliance that went back to the 40s. We know this from studying the New York crime families and how they worked with the intelligence agency at that time, which was prior to the CIA, in helping to protect us and to actually win in World War II in the battles in Italy, especially Sicily. So they had a strong alliance going back to the 40s. Then during the 50s, it continued to get stronger. What made me realize what was really happening here was sort of the legend that was created. Lee Harvey Oswald is depicted a troublemaker, a hater of freedom, a Castro lover, a wife beater, all these horrible things. If you look at the testimony of his friends in New Orleans, his friends in the service, his friends in Russia, his friends in Dallas, they said just the opposite.
He was
nonviolent. He was known to be able to speak fluent Russian. The only way someone's going to learn a language that difficult, he had to have gone there. He was in the service for a couple of years, came back, he got a hardship discharge so that they could send him to Russia. There was a fake defector program to Russia run by James Angleton, who I describe in my book, gaining solid intelligence on the ground. Marries a beautiful woman over there. They ended up having two kids, one over there and one over here. The legend that they've created was simply to set him up. And that was another Helms and Angleton plan, to create a fall guy, and not overnight, but over a long period of time.
The fact that John Kennedy was planning on eliminating or downsizing or backing off the CIA strength certainly supports the theory of them being involved in the president's assassination. How does it pertain to the Robert Kennedy assassination?
Well, the Robert Kennedy assassination, primarily Vietnam, where Robert Kennedy wanted to get out as soon as possible. John Kennedy, a month before he died, had agreed in Honolulu to withdraw 1,000 troops. That was reversed as soon as John was assassinated.
Did Harry Truman start the CIA?
It was 1947.
Who does the CIA answer to? I mean, if you were the President of the United States right now and really wanted to know what was going on behind closed doors with the CIA, could they indeed penetrate those doors?
More responsible people are in power today.
Yeah, but do they answer to anybody, regardless of they're responsible or not? I mean, do they call up the president, or do they call up the head of the FBI? Do they call up somebody? I mean, Martha Stewart, anybody. They seem to be kind of a government within their own. I mean, even today, the president says, I don't know about this, I don't know about that. Who's their immediate supervisor?
There are checks and balances, and it's a bureaucracy with a lot of good people in it. You know, everybody's watching everybody else. Nowadays, it's Homeland Security.
Right.
People don't understand the power and the size of the NSA.
Do you think that the CIA ever divulged any of this information on a high level with ongoing administrations after Kennedy, i.e. Johnson?
Absolutely not. Most people think, a lot of people think he didn't have a clue. He did have suspicions that the CIA did something. He also suspected Cuba.
Yeah.
But that didn't make sense.
Yeah.
Nixon, we feel, knew what had happened, was very careful around Helms and Angleton, and he did give Helms a nice job over in Iran, get him out of the country.
Yeah. You're not the first one that we've had on the show this week that said that Nixon was privy of it. I think it's important to note that he may have been privy of it after the fact, but wasn't responsible for it like a lot of people might think. You know, like they say, you know, Johnson was responsible for it or whatever the case may be. We have an author on the show this week that says that. Fact of the matter is that Nixon had that tie with the CIA after the assassination and certainly during his administration.
The evidence doesn't show he was involved.
No, that's what I'm saying. He was not involved in any way, shape, or form. He was just privy of what had happened.
Yeah.
This is heavy stuff.
Well, I was in broadcast journalism. Maybe that's where I got my...
Well, you know what? And I failed to mention
my skill.
You were a television news producer, so obviously you know how to put a picture into words.
That's the thing. You write for the ear rather than the eye. Always enjoyed that more.
Well, you pulled it off. There's no doubt about it. I urge everyone to get CIA Rogues and the Killing of the Kennedys, How and Why U.S. Agents Conspired to Assassinate John F. Kennedy and Robert F. Kennedy, written by our guest in hardcover right now, Patrick Nolan. Patrick, thank you so much for joining us.
You're very welcome. I'd love to come back, Ron.
Okay.
Anytime. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. You're listening to a very special edition of Ron Segee Today, where we are remembering November 22nd, 1963, the assassination of John F. Kennedy, 55 years ago this Thanksgiving. And there's more to come.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
USA Radio News.
President Donald Trump on Saturday was in Northern California to see firsthand the grief and devastation from the deadliest U.S. wildfire in a century. Authorities confirmed at least 71 people are dead. Members of a migrant caravan are starting to meet some local resistance as they continue to arrive by the hundreds in the Mexican border town of Tijuana. A group of residents clashed with the migrants that were camped out near the U.S. border fence. U.S. Customs and Border Protection Director of Field Operations Pete Flores joins Fox News to make some sense of this.
The community in Mexico, is, in particular Tijuana, is worried about the actions being taken by the caravan members and then what that action then translates to in regards to what we're prepared to do on our borders, in between the ports and at the ports, to ensure that the safety of our border and not be overrun by any masses coming at us.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Homemakers. Groceries by mail ships free. Try our amazing bacon. It stores in your pantry. No refrigeration required. Our value-added packaging provides a 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Always priced less than grocery for your everyday use. Savory and delicious. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
As a political consultant and strategist, he has worked as an aide to President Richard Nixon, President Ronald Reagan, Senator Bob Dole, and more recently worked for Donald Trump and a frequent guest on our show. He's penned a book called A Man Who Killed Kennedy, The Case Against LBJ. Joining us right now is author Roger Stone. Hi, Roger. How are you today?
I'm terrific. It's great to be with you.
Even though I've heard of these allegations before about the possibility that LBJ was kind of responsible, as you put it, for the death of John F. Kennedy. Although a lot of people dispel that, you have compelling evidence that that is the case. Why do you feel this way?
I think this is like a puzzle that for 50 years has been missing one big piece. Those who have had serious scholarship in picking apart the Warren Commission and the entire issue who have gone before me, who have concluded that it was the CIA, it was the mob, it was Texas Oil, may have even been military intelligence, all of those researchers are correct. And each one of those entities has a unique relationship with Lyndon Johnson, and each one of those entities has their own motive for wanting to leave to replace JFK. Johnson's the linchpin of a conspiracy. Why? Because he controls Dallas. And in 1963, murder is not a federal crime. It is a state crime, which means the local police, the Dallas PD, will investigate, and the district attorney of Dallas, a Johnson man, Henry Wade, will decide who gets prosecuted and for what. And it allows Johnson to control Dallas was the perfect place. And there's just more than ample evidence to prove a motive, means, and opportunity by Lyndon Johnson. He who derives the most from the crime is the one who committed it.
I think everybody kind of knows that Johnson was a crude guy, okay? But you describe him as not only crude, but power-driven, as we all know. Sex, cigarettes, and liquor was big in his career. We go back to Precinct 13, where he thought in the early 40s, when he was robbed of a Senate seat, that he would get back to how people robbed him by robbing Coke Stevenson. You go on to describe him as someone who would let nothing stand in his way. Had the opportunity about 15 years ago to interview Madeline Brown, where she describes the scenario that you describe in the book about I won't have these Kennedys to put up with anymore. I mean, it was startling information to see that not only he made that remark to her, he also did away with a housemate of hers when they were caught in a compromising position when the housemate walked into the house that LBJ had for her.
He made her disappear.
Yeah.
It is extraordinary that Johnson crosses the line from being just a bad guy to being an amoral psychopath. He was not just vulgar and crude and aggressive and ambitious. He was corrupt. I mean, corruption of biblical proportions. By 1963, he had amassed a $25 million fortune, which is $150 million today, and he's doing this while on the public payroll his entire life. No piece of legislation, no big defense, nothing moves without a payoff to Lyndon Johnson in the 50s. He's continuing to take payoffs as vice president. And he's a desperate man because the Baker and Estes scandals give him just extreme motive. Not just being dumped, he's going to prison. So it's either become president or go to jail. Those are Lyndon Johnson's choices.
And, of course, his dealings with the FCC were legendary. That's the reason why he got a 250-watt daytimer turned into a 5,000-watt CBS affiliate, all because of his association with the government. Tell us about Malcolm Wallace.
Yeah, Malcolm Wallace is the gunman. That's who actually kills JFK, or at least shoots him. I think there's multiple shooters, but it would be very typical of Johnson to want to have his own shooter in the pool. He doesn't want any screw-ups. Wallace leaves a 34-point match fingerprint in the sixth-floor Texas School Book Depository sniper's nest on a cardboard box. Six people say that they see movement in the sixth-floor windows prior to the shooting, always describes movement in more than one window, which means more than one person, and several people describe a man who meets the exact description of Wallace. The Warren Commission destroys one witness.
Nixon did a favor for LBJ in the late 40s by hiring Jack Ruby. What was that about?
I worked on both sides of Capitol Hill. Members very commonly do this when they have leftover staff funds. So a member will often come to you as a courtesy, would you put this guy on? And it's almost always part-time. So it's very common. In 1963, Nixon is washed up. He is a has-been.
Right.
He is only 1 year off of losing the California governorship. And the only guy who thinks he still has a political future is him. He's in Dallas that day, and he flies back to New York, and he learns about the president's killing on the radio. He goes to his apartment, and he goes to the phone. He calls J. Edgar Hoover, and Hoover said, yes, we have the man. He's a communist. Nixon's worried about the press conference he had Saturday in Dallas and predicted that LBJ would be dumped from the ticket. How do you like that? But even he figured it out. He believes that until he sees Ruby blow Oswald away on television with millions of other Americans, he recognizes Ruby. I believe Gerald Ford ultimately would pardon Nixon in the Watergate fiasco. If Nixon went to trial, he was going to tell everything he knew about Ford's role in the Warren Commission and description of wounds to accommodate the government's cockamamie single bullet theory, which was done at the behest of J. Edgar Hoover and the FBI. He was going to blow the whistle on the CIA's role in the death of Kennedy and the mob assisting the CIA to assassinate Castro. He had to be pardoned. It cost Ford re-election. And by the way, this book is very balanced. It's not a love letter for Richard Nixon or anybody. I'm very harsh on the Kennedys. That's the one thing that I think distinguishes my book among all these Kennedy books that are out now. I don't deify anyone.
Isn't this supposed to be about LBJ and his involvement in this assassination? And there is so much with the mob, with the oil depletions, and you talk about an unusual, strange call from the president to the operating room at Parkland Hospital when Lee Harvey Oswald was on his deathbed by LBJ trying to get a confession while the guy is being worked on by all these surgeons.
He calls Crenshaw and he doesn't say, ask him who did it, ask him who he works with, or ask him who was in the conspiracy. He says, just get a confession. Very telling. Johnson aide calls Henry Marshall, the DA, before the Air Force One takes off to return to Washington right after the assassination, says, the president says you were to charge Oswald with murder and no other crime, meaning not conspiracy, a federal crime.
At the time of the assassination in Washington, were hearings being held in the criminality of LBJ? They ceased after the shooting?
Yeah, that very day, the Senate had opened its hearings into Bobby Baker. Bobby Baker was the Secretary of the U.S. Senate, a man described by Lyndon Johnson, sometimes called Little Lyndon. And he was Johnson's bagman. He and Johnson were into vending machines. He and Johnson were into casino resorts. They had a hotel on the eastern shore of Maryland. You know, these guys were stealing an epic amount of money, and they got caught. The U.S. Senate was opening a hearing. Johnson was on the phone all day, November 22nd, 1963, trying to find out if his name had come up yet.
Yeah.
This is why I think historians have misunderstood the desperation of Johnson on that day. He's got two freight trains headed at it. One is the Sol Estes scandal, which Bobby Kennedy has teed up. Bobby has leaked all the Justice Department documents on Johnson to Life magazine. Time Life has 9 full-time investigator reporters on the ground. This is all for a December 1st cover issue where it's an expose of Johnson's finances. So he's caught.
Madeline Brown said to me, she says, I don't know if he really masterminded this thing, but if he knew about it, I don't think he actually did anything about it. But I think the bottom line with the Warren Commission and how you conclude in the book, by the way, the name of the book is The Man Who Killed Kennedy, The Case Against LBJ by Roger Stone, the author we're talking to, was that America is at stake. The democracy reputation of this country would be compromised if indeed the rest of the world knew that somebody within our government would put us at the same level as a third world country.
It is. I just don't think people understand the extent to which, after the assassination, the results of the investigation are completely manipulated by Lyndon Johnson and J. Edgar Hoover.
Yes.
So we know that Oswald was an intelligence asset. He'd been an FBI informant. We know that Jack Ruby had been an FBI informant. The commission tells us Jack Ruby was not affiliated with organized crime. That's absurd. He's a Carlos Marcello button man. He runs his strip club at the sufferance of Marcello. You know, Jack is a pimp. Jack's a guy you go to for a card game or for a dice game or for a woman. For Vincent Bugliosi or the Warren Commission to say he's not a monster is ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. The late Vincent Bugliosi really sometimes let a lot of water go underneath the bridge, I think. On November 22nd, 1963, 2 jobs were saved, Lyndon Johnson and J. Edgar Hoover.
No question.
Yeah.
J. Edgar Hoover's motive is obvious. Not only is he close to Johnson, they're next-door neighbors. They're very close. And Hoover knows that he's coming up on mandatory retirement age and that Bobby Kennedy wants him out. I mean, Bobby Kennedy, he despises him.
Yeah.
Bobby enjoys him torturing. I mean, Bobby brings his giant Newfoundland dog into Hoover's office and the dog pisses on the floor.
The name of the book is The Man Who Killed Kennedy, The Case Against LBJ, penned by Roger Stone. Roger, you are always welcome here. Thank you for this insight, and I appreciate the book and you being here with us today.
I enjoyed it. So you can go to lbjkilljfk.com and buy the book there. So I appreciate the time.
Roger Stone, and a very controversial figure even in the headlines today. And there's more to come live all across the USA and around the world with Ron Saggi today as we remember 55 years ago this Thursday, November 22nd, of the assassination of JFK.
It's pretty amazing when you consider that 7 years ago, we didn't have the treatments we have now. We cure 80% of children with cancer. Go back 50 years, we were curing 20 to 30%. This is the miracle story of modern medicine. We understand what makes this cancer tick. And of course, without donors from around the world, this just couldn't happen. There's one thing we're focused on, and that's beating this thing.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Time is the one thing that we want more of. Without the donors, I wouldn't have my Audrey. They take care of our housing. They take care of our food. In addition to the best medical treatment that my daughter could ever have. So it allows me to focus on my daughter and getting her better.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at St.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
We depend on our drinking water supply daily, but where does that water come from? Your water provider encourages you to get to know your local water source so together we can protect and preserve it. The investments we make as a community to protect our water source now ensure we have a sustainable drinking water supply for the future. Visit drinktap.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the American Water Works Association and your local water provider.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I'm 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
That has been made into a movie. It's called Mortal Error, The Shot That Killed JFK. Joining us right now, it's its author, Bonner Menninger. Bonner, thank you for joining us.
Thanks a lot for having me, Ron. Pleasure.
This book was not a success the first time out. Why is that?
You know, your guess is as good as mine. I think that part of it was just timing. The book came out in the immediate aftermath of the JFK movie by Oliver Stone. I think it just got caught up in the prop wash. I think people just thought it might, you know, was a quick hit, rip-off deal that they just didn't take seriously. And so as a result,
that slip through the cracks. And, I mean, it's about ballistics and it's about trajectories, and it's not sexy. Like a conspiracy with the mob and the CIA and all kinds of intrigue, it's a completely different kind of theory, and perhaps that was part of it too. People just would prefer that there'd be more mystery in the thing. I don't know.
We're talking about the possibility that a Secret Service agency, Hickey, who was in the backup car that was following the president's car, accidentally pulled an AR-15 after the first shot rang out and took the safety off of it. The backup car stopped, he fell, and the trajectory of the bullet that hit Kennedy's head was the same trajectory that would have been the case if indeed the AR-115 that the Secret Service agent had gone off, which means that a Secret Service agent accidentally killed the president.
It's certainly one piece of evidence that suggests this is true. It was left to right and very shallow, as opposed to right to left and down from Oswald's position. So that's one piece of evidence. Second piece of evidence, from a ballistic standpoint, the entrance wound on his skull was 6 millimeters in diameter. Oswald was shooting a bullet that was 6.5 millimeters in diameter, and pathologists would tell you that you just can't push a bullet through a hole that's smaller than the diameter of the bullet. And then finally, the way the bullet behaved, it ruptured and shattered and in an explosive fashion, which is completely consistent with the AR-15 223 round and completely inconsistent with the Full Metal Jacket bullets that Oswald was firing.
Are those bullets interchangeable?
No, not at all. Different gun, different barrel, different weapon systems. And furthermore, they proved that Oswald was all the shells up there were from the same lot of ammunition. There's no way that he could have fired that bullet from his gun.
So the bullet from the AR-15 fragments, hence the reason why there are over 40 particles of metal in the president's brain,
right,
vis-a-vis the Mannlicher that does not. It enters and exits at the same diameter, correct?
Right. Well, the Carcana bullet probably would have fragmented somewhat when it hit his skull because that's a hard bone, but it would have broken into two or three large pieces. In fact, tests done by the Warren Commission with Carcana bullets into skulls indicated exactly that it broke up into several large pieces. 223 round, it's traveling at 3,000 feet per second versus 2,000 feet, so it's 1,000 feet per second faster. It's spinning so fast that the lead inside literally becomes molten liquid, and then when it hits, it's such a light bullet, it's really about the size of a 22. It tumbles, and that thin copper jacket ruptures, and it just sprays that molten lead, the idea being to cause an extremely lethal wound. So that's why you had what was described as a snowstorm of lead, just these tiny little particles of lead throughout his brain. So yeah, the Carcana would fragment, but in a completely different way.
My neighbor's a police officer, carries an AR-15 in his police car.
Yeah.
It's a loud rifle. Why wouldn't more people have heard that? I understand that if it was in the confines of the backup Secret Service car, I'm sure that the gentleman in the car would support and not necessarily expose relatively quickly a mistake on one of theirs. There was a number of people who smelled gun smoke, including Senator Ralph Yarborough, who was in the automobile behind the Secret Service car, who had been a hunter for 50 years, and said, "I smelled gun smoke, and it wasn't gun smoke that could have come from a six-story building."
Right. Well, at least four witnesses believe that the shots came from the motorcade, from the area near the limousine. Guns, when they go off, high-powered rifles make really two or three sounds when the bullet leaves the gun, and then, you know, there's kind of a crack when it breaks the sound barrier. So the sound evidence is problematic. But what you mentioned, the people that smelled gun smoke, I think that's extremely relevant. These people, eight of them, were immediately behind the follow-up car in open vehicles. They said, you know, I immediately smelled gunpowder very distinctly.
There is a picture of Secret Service Agent Hickey standing in the back of that 56 Cadillac and looking back toward the school book depository. And I think it's important to note here that you are not alluding to the fact in the book that this was done maliciously. This was a human error.
Right. Again, this is the work of Howard Donahue, a ballistics expert who studied this for 25 years. He set out to essentially confirm the Warren Commission in the beginning. It was only when he began to discover these discrepancies about the headshot that he had his doubts. And ultimately, that evidence led him to the conclusion that this shot was an accidental discharge from Agent Hickey from the follow-up car, but at no point did he ever even consider that this might have been intentional. It would have been a one-in-a-million shot. There's just no evidence that there was that kind of conspiracy, extremely tragic accident that, you know, got rolled up in the whole thing, and it was just in nobody's interest to talk about it, our belief.
Do you think that might be one of the reasons reasons why the Secret Service was so adamant about taking the body back to Washington for an autopsy versus doing it in the state of Texas?
I think that's certainly plausible, and that's the substance of the movie JFK, The Smoking Gun, pattern of behavior by the Secret Service at Parkland and then subsequently at Bethesda, basically ramrodding the body out of Texas despite the law that required an autopsy be performed there. And then even more telling, I think, is the way they behaved at the autopsy. They basically just sucked up all the evidence, the x-rays, the photos, the bullet fragments. Why were they doing this? I mean, I don't know. It just seems curious. If they had nothing to hide, why they would be so relentlessly determined to get their hands on every piece of evidence.
Agent Hickey passed away, what, 2005?
That's my understanding,
okay,
yeah.
2005, but he did sue and he did win a settlement.
Yeah, well, that's not quite accurate. He sued, the suit was dismissed on grounds of statute of limitation had expired, subsequently indicated that he was considering appeal, and at that point the publishers of my book, St. Martin's Press, made a decision to preclude that by offering a settlement of an unknown amount. I don't think it was enormous. Technically, they settled, but I think it was a business decision at that point. They spent a lot of money. They were just tired of it. I made every effort to get in touch with Hickey throughout this process. In fact, when I started, I basically wrote him a letter. I said, I'm not going to write this book if you can demonstrate to me why this is not true. I simply won't do it, and I really would like to talk to you. And I sent it certified, and he signed for it. I never heard back. I wrote him again as I went further along and then went up to his house a couple of times and knocked on his door. Nobody there, left him a note. Ask yourself what you would do if somebody was accusing you of accidentally killing the president. Would you just sit back and take the silent approach? I don't think I would.
No, I wouldn't either. You'd want to clarify it. So
yeah.
His silence is real loud here.
Seems like it.
Yeah, seems like it. The name of the book is Mortal Error, The Shot That Killed JFK, and you can get all of the details on this on a show that is currently airing on the Reels channel, has been for a few weeks now, JFK, The Smoking Gun. Very well done.
Thank you, Ron. I really appreciate it. That program, I believe, is going to run at least one more time. Folks can check that out on the Reels channel.
Bonner, thank you for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot for having me, Ron. You have a great day down there.
Thank you, and I'll certainly try. And there's more to come live with Ron Sedgy today.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I have problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Signing a timeshare contract? And did you miss the part that said you have to pay for your great idea? Not only for the rest of your life, but when you're not here anymore, you get to pass this turkey onto your family for them to pay for the rest of their lives. Thanks, Dad. Don't burden your family down the road, and don't be stuck with expensive timeshare payments forever. Get out of your bad idea timeshare contract guaranteed or pay nothing. Call Resort Release today and learn for free how their timeshare exit team can help you legally exit your timeshare contract. They've helped thousands of people, and they're A-plus rated with a BBB. So if you feel scammed, get mad, and get out of your expensive timeshare contract right now, guaranteed. Call NOW.
800-586-7112. 800-586-7112. 800-586-7112. That's 800-586-7112.
Well, that's going to wrap up hour number one of Ron Segi today on this weekend before Thanksgiving. I want to thank my guests this first hour for joining us, and they include Dan Rather, author Patrick Nolan, Roger Stone, and Bonner Menninger. As we remember, November 22nd, coming up on this Thanksgiving Thursday, back in 1963, with the assassination of our president, John F. Kennedy. Next hour, from Blind Spot on NBC, Jamie Alexander, actor Ernie Hudson will be here. Costa Kennedy will be joining us with a great book about the history of baseball and pictures, and Melissa Spurka. And that's all coming up next hour, live with Ron Segi today. We'll be right back with Jamie Alexander.